Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. This is an interim video that I'm making before the next serious one. The next serious one is the one I've been promising for years, which is the video about the killing of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd and the Jewish role in it. So don't miss it. It is the greatest political secret in the history of South Africa. And what I'm about to tell you in that video is something that a very, very tiny number of people in South Africa know. A very tiny amount. The vast majority have never even heard of this stuff. So that'll be the next big video. I've already recorded most of it, but I just need to assemble it and check it and so on. Anyway, in this video, I'm going to do a little bit of a musical thing. And whenever I've done anything musical, people hate it. Everything that I've done musical, people just don't like it. Maybe I've got a bit of a weird taste or whatever. But there are a couple that I do want to do. It's just that there are videos that historically have got critically important lessons for whites. Lessons that I do not think I need to wait. I don't think it's good for those videos to be left. I feel that they are so critical that I must do them, even though it requires quite a bit of research and it's a tedious process. It is the contents that are so important. So people, for example, who have watched my Angola videos, they'll understand the critical importance of what was in there. And people who've watched my lecture that I gave in the USA and Canada, they will also know the critical importance of what lay in there. But I'm not finished. There is very important stuff that I need to communicate to people, even though it's a tedious business to create it. And I try to do it with as much accuracy as possible. I'm trying to use whatever limited sources I have to try and get the most accurate message to whites so that these messages can be properly understood. These are important survival things. But I've got hundreds of videos sitting in my head. I've got notes for things that I've done and partially done. I've even got a video that's uncompleted that I did most of it in 2018. In late 2018, I did a whole video about the Germans and the Russian campaign, a very important video. And it's just lying around. I need to actually assemble that as well and take a look at it and get it out. But I've been trying to get the most important ones past us. And the Verwoerd stuff is critical. And we're down to the last two. The killing of Verwoerd and also the rest of his life. Just so that people can see what an amazing man he was. But don't imagine that I'm short of things or that I have run out of ideas. I've actually got masses of ideas. I've got so many videos I want to do. World War II, other wars, all kinds of European wars. I've got racial videos, things about whites in all kinds of situations. There's tons of stuff, just tons of stuff. And I'm trying to pick out what is important and critical that people should know now. But I think after the Verwoerd videos, I might start slipping in others which deal with whites in general, bigger topics, racial topics, all kinds of different things. And there were a lot of fun videos that I want to do where I look at the special side of us, the special side, the high quality side, the things that we do well, and things that we can learn from each other. Trust me, the topics are never ending, just never ending. There's just so many topics. I don't know if my life is long enough to tackle all the topics, because there are many things from history that I haven't even touched on. Haven't even touched on the Vikings or the Finns or the Spaniards. There's just tons and tons of stuff to touch on. The Germans, I've just scraped the surface of the Germans. There's just millions of things that I feel that there are things I'd like to tell people. Plus, of course, the Jews. I'm by no means finished with talking about the Jews either. And there are things that are genuinely fun and also very beautiful that I want to discuss. Things that we take for granted. I see too many things that whites take for granted about themselves. Far too many things that whites just take for granted. Truly, it's not good. In this little video, we'll touch on a tiny bit of it, but I want to touch on more important things that will also add to the lessons for whites. And even things like liberalism and higher level things, I've sat and thought about so many, many things. Many things that I want to say that I don't think anyone has said before. Because there is so much that whites take for granted, and they take it for granted to such a tremendous degree that they are missing out on things that are staring them in the face, that are critically important to know. They're staring it in the face and they're not realizing the critical importance of certain things. And it needs to be brought out in its true stark contrast. Anyway, so let's take a look at today's video. Today's video is a bit of a fun one, but it's a fun one that got me really thinking. I am constantly looking for music and stuff to listen to, because I don't listen to the crap that is coming out of Hollywood or anything popular. I don't listen to all that shit. I have not been listening to new music or popular music for many years. Now and then, on the odd occasion, I come across something that's relatively new that's actually not bad. But on the whole, I ignore most of what's out there because most of it's just total garbage. It's just total crap, anti-white shit. Shit that has no meaning for me, means nothing, quality is crap, and I'm just not interested in junk. And as we slide down, let's call it Jewish civilization, the quality of everything just gets lower and lower and lower. So everything starts becoming worse and worse and worse. And I think generally whites, almost universally across the world, are starting to realize that there are things that are not right. And I must say, I'm very delighted with COVID. COVID has been fantastic. COVID and lockdowns has been just fantastic, because I think it's outraged people more than anything. It's really outraged whites almost universally, from every corner of Europe right to the USA, Canada, everywhere. And even the whites in South Africa are behaving differently to the non-whites with regard to COVID. There is a genuine thing about COVID and lockdowns that is truly universal, and it's wonderful. I definitely see COVID and lockdowns as a great blessing. I think it's moved our politics forward by at least 10 years. And there are so many whites who are just looking at this and they're saying, but this is crazy shit. This doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. This thing is crap. That thing's bullshit. It's just fabulous. It's fantastic. They have fucked with everyone's life to such a fucking degree that now people are becoming nuts. That doctors, nurses, scientists, people who always were quiet, are now just coming out of the woodwork, left, right, and center, and they're just starting to talk, and everyone's busy ripping this stuff apart. So I think things are great, and things are just going to get better, as people just totally freak out at the collapse of things, as they realize that they're living in a house of cards. that this stuff is not real. That there's just so much crap out there that's not real. And the priorities are insane. And everything to do with it is just nuts. So anyway, I go looking for music every now and then I grab this and I grab that, and I listen to music in different languages. Even if I can't understand the European language, I listen to the music. And every now and then I get an idea and I start hunting for stuff. And recently I was hunting for quite a lot of music, actually, and I found really, really nice stuff. And I was looking back at it and I was thinking, oh man, this is so awesome. And I'm actually, apart from music, I like to listen to music all the time. But apart from music, I'm not really an arty person. I don't really like to watch ballet and dancing and stuff. And I'm not really one for theater. Theater doesn't interest me much. I used to be interested in movies when I thought they were good. Now they're just all garbage. It's just total crap. I just can't think of other words for these things. It's just garbage, man. It's just shit. It's just stuff that is not even fitting for a child. It's just garbage, man. And if you have to look at these movies and you have to look at them logically, or whether they have a message, or whether there's science in them or history in them, everything is so unrealistic and so beyond all forms of sanity that you really shouldn't even be showing this stuff to children, because children might actually think that the world actually works like this, that the laws of physics or the laws of history or the laws of society work like this, when in fact these movies are totally out of touch with all forms of reality. And whites are actually a people of reality, and that's yet another very, very important message I'm going to come back to, that we are the ultimate people of reality, and that if you move in the direction of Jews, you are moving away from reality into unreality, non-reality. You're moving into a world that's totally fictional, and the rules in that world are completely fictional and not related to reality. And such a crazy world is a dangerous world, and it's messing with the heads of white people. As whites move away from reality, they are moving into a nasty, nasty space, and it's not healthy for any of us. We've got to move back to reality. We are the people of reality, and nature loves us. Nature loves us because we are the people of reality and nature. So I don't generally like artistic stuff because to me it doesn't have any meaning or whatever. But I will tell you, there is some artistic stuff done by whites that I wasn't aware of or I'd never really looked at in the past, and it blows me away. And can you believe I've even watched ballet? But I need to show you the ballet that I've been watching. Because if you'd ever told me, if you'd ever said to me that I would sit and watch ballet, then I would have said to you, no man, bugger off, bugger off. I don't sit and watch ballet. It's far too boring. But believe it or not, I've watched quite a bunch of things and I've said to myself, man, this is good. This is seriously good. I can't believe what these people are pulling off. And you will see what I mean. You will see exactly what I'm talking about when I get to that. But among the music, I was listening to really, really beautiful music. And I was saying, man, look at this quality. It comes out of this country. Look at that quality out of that country. Goodness me, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this wonderful for your soul and your heart and everything? It's so beautiful. It's so meaningful. It has such value. And it is performed with such excellence. There is just far too much that white people just take for granted. They take things for granted. And this little video will touch on a little bit of it. Anyway, among the music that I was finding, I came across some music that I'd heard some of it before, and it's from the musical, and God help me, I cannot pronounce the French, but I'm going to try my best, and I'm only going to do it once, and it's the one play, or the one musical, that in English we refer to almost exclusively by its French name. And make no mistake, French is a beautiful language. Can you believe when I was at school in Rhodesia that at one point I even took French for a couple of years? And my pronunciation is totally horrific, and I soon forgot virtually everything I'd learned about French. But can you believe I actually took a little bit of French for a couple of years? And I was probably about average or so. But it was more in writing and spelling than speaking. So anyway, the musical is a musical called Les Miserables. And that's as good as it can get. It can't get better than that, and I'm not going to repeat it. So that's the best you're going to get out of it. And it also goes by other names. Sometimes in English, people called it the miserables, the wretched, the miserable ones, the poor ones, the wretched, poor, etc. But mostly it's known by its French name. And it was turned into a musical in recent times. And I have the CD of the musical. I bought it years ago. And on that CD, there's one particular song I love. I like a number of the songs, I don't like all the songs, but there's one song that I always liked, and the song is called The Master of the House. And it's also done by British people, so it's these people with their British accents, and it's actually very excellent. It's amazing that in Britain you get all kinds of quality in this Judaized island of Britain. You get all kinds of quality, and then you get a mindset that is so pathetic, it's unbelievable. You just can't understand how a people who are so intelligent can be so pathetic in their worldview. And I am convinced that it relates to all that Jewish aristocracy on that island. And they've become very, very, very pathetic. Very pathetic. Yet, like I say, on that island, you will find some really intelligent people. And now and then you'll come across some incredible quality out of that silly Judaized island. And why that quality just cannot lead to something firm and determined and much more European-like, I can only put it down to the Jewish influence. I think on that island there's just too much Jew coming down from the elite. And those whites, without realizing it, think 70% of the time just like Jews. And perhaps Napoleon was correct when he referred to the British as a nation of shopkeepers. He said something along those lines about the British, calling them a nation of shopkeepers. And truly, they are a nation of traders. And that line of thinking clashes with the European style of thinking, with true European thinking, especially the more ancient European thinking, and in modern times with the thinking of Hitler, the Roman Empire, Napoleon even, etc. There's just so much of a clash with lots of European thinking. European thinking is different. It's more nationalist. It's much firmer. It's a different kind of thinking. So I find it very disappointing that on an island where you would see certain quality coming out, that yet out of those very same people comes a tremendous weakness, a pathetic, soul-destroying kind of weakness that you just can't understand. Anyway, the song that I'd loved from the past is a song called The Master of the House. And while I was hunting for new videos, I got a copy of it, and I noticed there were many different copies, and I wasn't looking for an audio copy. I wanted a video copy because it's nice to see it being performed. And there is a very specific copy on the audio that I like a lot, and it's to me the best of all the different versions. And I began hunting to see if I could find a video version that is the same as the audio version I've got. And I managed to get a partial copy. But while I was going through all these stacks of songs that I had been looking at and downloading and marveling at, I was watching the Master of the House again. And nowadays, with my Jewish radar, or Judar, to quote Tanstafel, nowadays with my Judar, I was looking at this song and I was saying to myself, hold on, hold on. Why haven't I considered that this song is about Jews? Because if you look closely at this song and you listen to the words, this song is about a Jewish merchant. The master of the house, the landlord, definitely is Jewish. And I love the song because it is naughty, it's got fun lyrics, it's got some very naughty ideas in it, and strangely in the past, I had never thought, that you're listening to a Jewish character here. The master of the house is Jewish. And I listened to the words and everything, and I was saying, yeah, this is definitely Jewish. The character is Jewish. Then I went and did a little bit of research, and to my amazement, I noted that quite a few Jewish websites spoke about how in this entire play there's a lot of Jewish stuff in here. And then a real shocker was, can you believe, that the lyrics, it seems the lyrics of all or most of the songs in this play, very possibly even all of the songs in this play, are actually written by, can you believe, a Jew from South Africa. I just about fell on my back. I'd never in a million years imagined that a South African Jew had actually written these lyrics. And maybe that's why this particular song, The Master of the House, is so very entertaining, because it's a Jew writing from a Jewish point of view. And maybe he's being very, very blatant and honest, and he's writing in a very Jewish frame of mind, and it's funny, but this thing is really Jewish. Here is a Jew giving you almost a very Jewish stereotype right here. And you can judge it for yourself, and you can see whether you think I've got this right. So I'm not going to go into the story of what the play is about. It's based on a book written by Victor Hugo in the 1800s, and it is a setting in France and people who live through harsh times and eventually a revolution that occurs. And there are two main characters, and one of them kills himself because of various guilt and clashes in his personality, etc. But none of this is of importance here. All I want to just focus on here is this fascinating song called The Master of the House. So what I've done is I've found two versions of it. And the first version I didn't like that much, but what's really nice about the first version is that they've got the words as they sing the song. So you can see and read clearly the words that they are singing. And that's important so that you can hear clearly the words and what is being sung. And actually, after watching it several times, I actually grew to like this version, actually. But after it, I've got what I like to think of as, let's call it the original version. Unfortunately, I struggled so much to find the original version Because it doesn't appear as if anybody has put out the full copy of the, let's call it, original version, or the best version. And the piece that I got is one that they actually went and edited. And I don't know if they were just malicious or trying to stop people from copying it, but in the very middle of the song, they actually put a freaking video where somebody's talking about what they were thinking about when they were putting this show together. And they have this lovely song, and then suddenly it breaks into this guy talking, and he's playing a few notes and talking some artistic junk, and then they carry on with the song. And so you actually lose like a minute or even a minute and a half of the song. And I went and I edited out that crap that they put in the midst of it so that the song actually flows. And if you are careful, you'll see where it flips over and you jump over the part where that piece of junk was. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And they did put some stuff at the front of it, which I sort of left, to do with the orchestra. So you're going to listen to the song twice, the first time with the words, and then you're going to hear the copy that I really like with some of the video footage that relates to that copy. And I think it's excellent. It's absolutely excellent. And I really like it a lot. It's so well done. But both of them are well done. I just like the second one more. And the second one is the same audio as I have. And I think it's absolutely classical. It's so well done by these Brits. So just a few points about the whole thing. In the second one, it starts a bit with a little bit of the orchestra. You see the conductor a bit. And I just want to make a few points about what you're looking at in this Western world, European style of art. The first thing that everybody will just totally ignore and take totally for granted without giving it even a second thought is nobody will sit back and think about the orchestra. That in actual fact, what you've got here is a play on a stage and these actors and actresses are singing, and nobody will even give a second thought that the beautiful music that you're listening to is being played in real time by real live people who are very organized, very skilled, functioning as a beautiful team. That you are looking at European precision at its finest, that you are looking at a style and quality of music making that virtually has no equal on the planet. And nobody will even give it the slightest thought. They'll just expect that this is like a record player or a video or MP3. They will never even consider that in this live performance, not only are the actors, actresses, the singers operating in live, real time with no ability to stop and do retakes, but that the freaking absolutely perfectionist music that is coming out of there that operates with utter precision and perfection, that all of that is coming from a whole team of highly trained, highly skilled whites functioning together, and it runs as smooth can be. And nobody will even think for a second that you're listening to quite a miracle of white teamwork, white precision, white excellence. You're just completely ignoring it. As if music like that just comes out of heaven itself. As if that is a sound that comes out of nature. No, it doesn't. That is a very specific, very precise thing, and you're just totally overlooking it. As if it's nothing. As if you can walk through the African jungle and music like that just freaking plays itself out of the trees. And no, it doesn't. It's a white creation. And we'll get back to some of that music and some of that style. But when you see that conductor starting out in the second piece, remember there's a whole bunch of people there, and they're all highly skilled. And their total excellence and absolutely faultless, faultless precision, you're just taking it for granted. You think that wind blows through the trees, that music like that comes out of the trees. No, it doesn't. There are 100,000 things about Western civilization that all whites just take for granted. They just assume that this stuff works like gravity, that it is there by nature, that it's always been there, and that it's always worked that way. And that is just total crap. Look around you and start to appreciate what other white people do, and you take it for granted. And then look at the job that you do and how many people are taking your job for granted, or you for granted. And the time when you will notice this is like here in Africa, when white people start disappearing and white civilization starts collapsing, then you'll start to notice, oh wow, do you remember things used to work like that? Do you remember that thing used to operate like that? Clockwork. It used to operate like clockwork, day and night, for decades. And I thought it was like the sun rising in the morning, traveling through the sky and setting. And you know what? When those white people were no longer there, it stopped working like that. You take your own civilization, your own people, totally for granted. And most whites, in one way or another, are taken for granted by other white people. On a vast scale, and it's wrong, it's wrong. There is so much that you take for granted that you don't appreciate about your own people. Men don't appreciate it about women. Women don't appreciate it about men. Men don't appreciate it about other men. Women don't appreciate it about other women. And so it goes on. There is so much that we take for granted. And when I'm overseas, I see it a lot. There are things that whites just don't even imagine. There are still things from my trip to America in 2019 where I'd love to pull out certain photographs of places I went and things that I did, just to show you things that you take for granted and things that you do naturally, and you suddenly think, yeah, the Bushmen, they do this. There was one place where I was in America where some teachers were selling a lot of books. There was a big warehouse and they had a book sale. And the people running the book sale were a bunch of teachers, and all of them were whites. And the way they organized that freaking book sale, I loved it. I loved it. It showed such intelligence, such European efficiency. And I will tell you that not a single person, not a single American who took part in it, including the teachers themselves, not a single person gave it a second thought. And I looked at this because I'm a computer programmer and I see things from a systems point of view, from a business point of view. I was looking at this and I was saying, this is total, total European efficiency. Look at what they are doing. Look at how minimalist they are doing it. Look at how quickly they're doing it. And just look at how they're doing it, even without technology. I marveled at it. And I went and I took photographs and I thought, this is just fantastic. And I will tell you that not one white person in the whole of North America will even appreciate it. But I need to show you so that you can see for yourself. Because if you were to go to, let's say, Madagascar, would you see the natives there doing the same thing? No, you wouldn't. And if you had to see them do it in South Africa, you know what they would do? They would say, well, you see, we need so many hundred thousand rand for computer systems. We won't be able to do this without computer systems. Are you crazy? You're expecting us to do this without freaking computers? We need so many hundreds of thousands of rand to do it with computers. Meanwhile, there were the white teachers sitting with notepads and pens and paper, and they were just pulling off a feat. There wasn't a single computer in sight. It was fabulous. And the way they organized the whole damn thing, it ran like clockwork. It was so wonderful. And many of you don't even appreciate European science, you don't appreciate European technology, you appreciate nothing that came from the past. When I was at school in Rhodesia, we were forbidden from using calculators until about the last 2 years of our high school. We were forbidden from using calculators. And at a point, they made us do some strange things. And I am almost certain that there are no school kids around in the last 30 years, maybe even more, who did some of the stuff that we did in Rhodesia. Possibly it was done in the British system, possibly. But there are some things that we did that I want to tell you. If you truly go and study our history, our European history, and you really have to appreciate what our people did in past centuries, that you will actually say these people were awesome. And I have a love of European science and white racial science, and I notice, especially with all these flat earth types and all these others floating around, I notice that there is so much about our history, our scientific history, and our technological history that people are not aware of. And if they truly looked at what our people did in the last 700 years, and even earlier, even going further back 2,000 years and more, if you had to look closely at some of our science and some of what our people did, and you grasp what they were doing, you would say, bloody hell, those white men were fucking clever. Because there are things that we did in our European history, in let's say the last 2,000 years, that you will not see in Africa. You will not see that in Africa. No ways. Nobody in Africa has done that. Even stuff that's done hundreds of years ago. I repeat, in Africa, if you had to say to them, listen, you need to do this and this and this and this, they'll say, yes, but we need so many millions of rands or millions of dollars. We need computers to do this. I'm not joking with you, man. I'm not joking with you. There is stuff that our people used to do with freaking notepads and pens and paper that nowadays, if you had to say to the blacks, hey, you must do that and that and that, they'll say to you, no, we need a computer system. We need 100 million rand for a computer system to do that. And yet, just 200 years ago, or 800 years ago, or sometimes even further back than that, whites were doing it with pieces of paper. And then you go and you listen to these liberals and Jews, and they're telling you, no, we're all the same, we're all the same. No ways are we all the same. No ways is our history the same. And if you go and study it in detail, you'll see, oh man, there are so many things, so many things that our people overcame without any help from anybody. And how did they solve it? How did they solve something that had never been solved before, never been done before, and nobody was there to tell them or help them how to do it? Yet, look at some of these modern nations that have come into existence, where they were given the nation, everything was handed to them on a plate, everything was working, and they just had to take it over. But whites never had that. There are a million examples of things that whites did where nobody the fuck helped them. Nobody helped them. Nobody gave it to them on a plate. They couldn't go and read in a book how to do it. They just had to say, all I've got is my brain, and I've got to find a way to solve this problem. How am I going to solve this problem? And how did they solve really difficult problems? So when you see a musical and a theater, and you look at the orchestra, you ignore the orchestra, and you are really doing a great disservice to our history. Because an orchestra, plus all those different musical instruments, each one of which has got a very specific set of standards that you've got to achieve. Over and above the fact that you've got a method of writing and notation for that music, and each instrument has got all kinds of quirks and technical things that require vast numbers of hours of practice in order to even use that instrument. And then you've got all these different instruments that have to sit together and they have to function together, and that notation and the conductor. The conductor is the leader of the orchestra, and he's also busy doing stuff. You're actually looking at some of the most fantastic teamwork you can imagine, and everybody just looks at it, they listen to the music, and they're bored. Now, when you go and you study acting, acting in and of itself in the Western world is also a sophisticated process. And in some of the stuff that I want to still show you from acting and dancing, I want to show you some of the finer points of some of the things that whites do. And again, it's stuff that nobody even notices. They don't even look at this stuff. They don't appreciate a damn thing about it. They don't even think twice about it. Yet something very clever, very clever, very efficient is happening right in front of your face. And again, it doesn't happen in the jungles of Africa. It doesn't happen when the wind is blowing through the trees. And again, everybody just totally ignores it. And yet it's very clever. Now, in this song that you're going to watch, it's performed on a stage. In both of the versions of the song, it's performed on the stage. In the one case, there's a lovely large group of actors and actresses, and they're actually sitting on chairs. And they're sort of swaying around and singing and doing things in unison. And just watch them, just watch what they are doing. And look at the quality of what they're doing and try to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And look at the beautiful effect that comes out of it. You're actually, again, looking at teamwork. And anybody who tells me that whites cannot do teamwork is a flipping moron, okay? Whites do fantastic teamwork. And one of the best places where you'll see it is in a stage show like this, where you've got the orchestra on the one hand, the actors and actresses. Wait until I show you some of the dancing and the ballet. Then you're going to see some really beautiful stuff. There's actually amazing stuff that comes out of our culture that we just don't even appreciate. We don't even think about it. So look at this, and you'll see these poor people. These people made up like the ragtag people of France, and apparently missing teeth and dirtily clothed and everything. And look at this whole thing and realize that you're seeing people putting on a show, and a whole bunch of work goes into this. People have to be dressed in a certain way, they've got to have makeup on, they've got to act the part, and it's quite amazing what they pull off. And I love the way that this song ends, The Master of the House. Now, the song is funny, and the song is really about this guy who's in charge of what appears to be, I think, an inn. He's like an innkeeper, and so people come and they drink and they eat, and some of them sleep over. And the innkeeper is clearly very Jewish. And if you even look at their faces and the way they behave and stuff and the words, then you will see this is really, really funny. So you've got this innkeeper who tells you that there are all these other innkeepers and all of them are crooks. And these other innkeepers are busy stealing money from their customers and they're cooking the books. But he is the only honest innkeeper. All the rest of them are crooks, but I'm honest. And if you understand lying, then you'll eventually realize, well, you know, the crook who's saying to you, well, you see, everybody else is a crook except me. That's what crooks say. And so here's this guy saying, everybody's a crook except me. I'm the only honest one. And then as the song progresses, you begin to realize that, no, he's not honest. And the entire song is about how he puts on an act. He's like a Jewish chameleon. He puts on an act. Oh, I'm your best friend. I'm the this. You can confide in me. I am your buddy, and so on. And meanwhile, he's busy making money. And he tells you, he says to you, look, I'm busy fixing the prices. I'm putting water in the wine. I'm diluting the wine. I'm modifying the weight. I'm adding to the weight. And all of those things. And he starts telling you the kinds of charges and fees that he's adding on. And he's telling you, well, you know, I'm even charging you for the mice and the lice. And if you look in the mirror twice, I charge you 2% for that. And if you sleep with the windows shut, I'm adding on 3% onto your bill. And at a point, he even gets quite excited. He's saying, you know, all these little bits and pieces, when I add them up together, I'm going to make a lot of money. And he gets very excited about it. The whole thing's freaking funny and it's hilarious. And every now and then as well, he's saying, Jesus, you know, I'm like screwing these people. He says, I'll do all kinds of things for you, but everything comes at a price. And then later he says, I'm going to skin them to the bone. And sometimes he even breaks out and shows his contempt for these people. But to their faces and everything, he's pleasant and he's friendly and he's honest and he's doing all these things. But check his facial expression, check the way that the actors play it, and you can see, yeah, you can do it, but I'm gonna get my pound of flesh out of you in one way or the other. You just don't realize how much I'm gonna get from you. And it's really fun. It's a really, really fun song. And then later on towards the end, his wife pitches up on the scene. And she is very miserable. She says, look at this wretch that I married. I thought he would turn into a prince. Look at this garbage that I married. And she goes on to say some very nasty things about him. Very nasty things about him thinking he's a great lover when in fact there's not much there. And she really despises him. But the whole song ends up with everybody toasting the innkeeper and his wife. And it has a fantastic ending and it's a lot of laughter and fun. But the words of the song and the meaning of the song and the character of the innkeeper, oh man, that innkeeper, he's quite a character. He's very cunning. And his wife also says that about him. She says he's got a very sneaky brain. But it's good fun and it's all done and it's really a fun song, but there's also some meaning to that song and maybe some truth to that song. But this is actually my favorite song from that show, and there are other songs that are pretty good, but this is my all-time favorite. And when I heard it the other day for the first time in quite a while, I thought to myself, man, character's got to be Jewish. And check out their attitude and their faces and their facial expressions and things, and you ask yourself, isn't there a bit of Jew in this character, or a lot of Jew in this character? And maybe that's how it was intended by the Jew who wrote the words. Maybe he really went to town and he put all the things in there to create a stereotypical Jew at work. And it's very funny. The whole thing is very funny. So enjoy it. The first song is going to be the one with the words, so that you can listen to the words and familiarize yourself with the words. And then the second one is the one that I actually prefer. But both of them are actually damn good. But there's just something about the second one that I prefer more, especially that male singer and even the wife character. I like it a lot. It's very, very well done. So it's just a little thing for you to listen to and just sit and take a look. None of this is high tech, and how it's done, and actually appreciate how much freaking work goes into this to do a show like this live. It's actually amazing. Actually amazing. And start looking around the world more and look more carefully at the incredible things of whites and start appreciating it. But I have got very specific things to show you where I really want to impress certain things upon you so that you really look at your own society and culture and history. And then you say to yourself, man, the stuff that came out of Europe, wasn't this fucking awesome? And when seen in its proper context in history, and you actually look at it, you will begin to realize the awesomeness of things that we just take for freaking granted. As if this kind of stuff falls out of the sky every day. And while I was hunting around and looking at stuff, I actually came across a interesting little video. I didn't know it, but the oldest musical instrument that has yet been discovered was discovered in Germany, and it's a Paleolithic flute. Yep, 35,000 years ago, 35,000 years ago, many, many times longer than all the Christian Jewish fables, 35,000 years ago, whites were busy carving out flutes out of bone. I warn you, if you study science properly, you will fall on your back at the creativity of our people. And when you look at it in its proper context, you'll say, man, that's incredible. So anyway, enjoy the Master of the House. I love this song and it gives me a lot of laughs, and I've listened to it so many times and I never quite tire of it. So I hope that this one is one of the more quality ones that you'll get from me. You'll get lower quality ones as well, but they all have some story related to them. But I do want to show you some true quality, really excellent stuff, so that you truly appreciate some things. But I need to balance it between things that are very important, things that I really want whites to learn. But maybe a little bit of, let's call it, European appreciation is what is necessary. Start looking around you, man. Start looking around you. Look at everything. Start appreciating the detail. Those things that you're working with, the things you're doing, start realizing that all kinds of miracles have taken place and you do not even appreciate it as a miracle. And maybe in your particular line of work, you do something that's very, very complex and tricky, and you will realize that other people do not even appreciate what you do. Sit and look at that world, and look at that world carefully, and then begin comparing that world with other cultures and see what you can find. And you're in for some shocks. Start opening your eyes and looking around you. So, anyway, here it is. Enjoy and have fun. We'll be chatting again with some serious videos and other videos afterwards.
Welcome, monsieur. Sit yourself down and meet the best innkeeper in town. As for the rest,
all of them crooks, rooking the guests and cooking the books. Seldom do you see honest men like me, a gent of good intent, who's content to be master of the house, doling out the charm, ready with an handshake and an open palm. Turns a saucy dial, makes a little stir, customers appreciate a bon vivre. Glad to do me friends a favour, doesn't cost me to be nice, but nothing gets you nothing, everything has got a little price. Master of the house, keeper of the zoo, ready to relieve them of a sou or two. Watering the wine, making up the weight, picking up the knickknacks when they can't see straight. Everybody loves a landlord, everybody's bosom friend. I do whatever pleases Jesus, don't I bleed him in the end.
Master of the house, we can catch your eye, never watch a passer by the passing by.
Enter, monsieur, lay down your load, unlace your boots and rest from the road. This way's a ton, travel's a curse, but here we strive to lighten your purse. Here the goose is cooked, here the fat is fried, and nothing's overlooked till I'm satisfied. Food beyond compare, food beyond belief, mix it in a mincer and pretend it's beef. Kidney of a horse, liver of a cat, filling up the sausages with this and that. Residents are more than welcome, bridal suite is occupied. Reasonable charges plus some little extras on the side. Charging for the lice, extra for the mice, 2% for looking in the mirror twice. Here a little slice, there a little cut, 3% for sleeping with a window shut. When it comes to fixing prices, there are lots of tricks he knows. How it all increases, all in bits and pieces. Jesus, it's amazing how it grows.
Master of the house, we can catch your eye. Never wants a passer by the passing by. Seven to the four, hundred to the right. Shuffle the philosopher and lifelong face. Everybody moves the banyan. Give them everything he's got.
Dirty bunch of geezers. Jesus, what a sorry little lot.
A prince, but God Almighty, have you seen what's happened since? Master of the house isn't worth my spit, comforter, philosopher, and lifelong shit. Cunning little brain, regular Voltaire, thinks she's quite a lover, but. What a cruel trick of nature! Landed me with such a louse. God knows how I've lasted living with this bastard in the house.
Master of the house.
Master of all.
Come with the philosopher.
Have I made love?
Seven to the four. Hundred to the grace.
Here's the prick, toady, and the debris light.
Everybody bless the landlord. Everybody bless his house.
Everybody raise a glass.
Okay, so that was the first one. Now you're going to see the copy that I really like. If anyone can ever find a full version of the copy that I like, I'll be grateful for the link. But otherwise, this is the best I could do. It's probably minus a minute or a minute and a half. And I think both of them are excellent, but I particularly like this one, especially the man who sings. Very lovely. So enjoy, and we'll be chatting again.
Meet the best innkeeper in town. As for the rest, all of them crooks, looking the guests and cooking the books. Seldom do you see honest men like me, a gent of good intent, who's content to be master of the house, doling out the charm, ready with a handshake and an open palm. Tells a saucy tale, makes a little stir, customers appreciate a bon vivant, glad to do a friend a favour. Doesn't cost me to be nice, but nothing gets you nothing, everything has got a little price. Master of the house, keeper of the zoo, ready to relieve him of a sou or two. Watering the wine, making up the weight, picking up their knickknacks when they can't see straight. Everybody loves a landlord, everybody's bosom friend. I do whatever pleases Jesus, but I bleed him in the end.
Master of the house, quick to catch an eye, never wants to pass a by the passing by.
Residents are more than welcome. Bread and sweet is off your peg. Reasonable charges plus some little extras on the side. Charge them for the lice, extra for the mice, 2% for looking in the mirror twice. Here a little slice, there a little cut, 3% for sleeping with the window shut. When it comes to fixing prices, there are lots of tricks he knows. How it all increases, all the bits and pieces. Jesus, it's amazing how it grows.
God Almighty, have you seen what's happened since? Master of the house isn't worth me spit. Comfort a philosopher and lifelong shit. Cunning little brain, regular Voltaire. Thinks he's quite a lover, but there's not much there. What a cruel trick of nature, landing me with such a louse. God knows how I love living with this bastard in the air!
These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.